This is Pastor Ethan Moore, and my message today is entitled, A Prayer for 2019. And I gave this message at the chapel in Beaver Creek, Colorado on Sunday, December the 30th, the last Sunday of 2018, in 2018. I prayed that it is a blessing to you and that you have a blessed new year in the hope of Christ. Friends, I encourage you to take a Bible. If you have one, that's wonderful. If not, there's some in the pew there in front of you. We're going to look at seven passages of Scripture today, relatively quickly, but I'll get to that in just a moment. So, today's the last Sunday of 2018. Hard to believe. And here at Trinity, we just wrapped up the third part of our journey through the book of Romans. We're halfway through the book of Romans at Trinity. We'll be picking that back up in January. Actually, next week is my plan anyway. And we'll see how long it takes us to get through the second half of Romans. But we finished that up. We've gone through Christmas. We've gone through the Advent season. And a couple of weeks ago, I was just, you know, thinking, what would be the appropriate thing to focus on today, or the last Sunday of 2018. Of course, with Christmas still in our mind, the miracle that we have celebrated, the hope of the coming of Christ, God's provision of Christ to us, but also just looking at the world around us, looking into the new year, and a thing that just came to my mind was an overwhelming need to pray. To pray. And so today I want to talk about prayer and how perhaps God may lead us to pray as we enter into this new year. And of course, when we think about prayer, anytime we do, many different things come to our mind. We think of praying for the people in our lives, that we're praying for God's provision in their lives, maybe health. A friend, dear friend just shared with me this morning about a dear friend of theirs, a gentleman who fell and has an injury that could be very serious, and sincerely praying for God to provide in that situation. And no doubt that maybe each one of us here have somebody that we know that we're praying for health or finances. And it's always been encouraging to me. In Hebrews, there's a passage of Scripture where the writer says that we can come before the throne of grace. Right? Think of this. We may approach, you and me, who we are, with all of our faults, our frailties, because of who Christ is and his presence in us, we may approach the throne of grace, the throne of God, with confidence to find help in our time of need, that we can come before God with everything in our lives. We may be praying for the salvation of a family member, a friend, someone that we know and love. We very well may be praying for our country, for events in the world. Well, what I want to do this morning is to let Scripture be our guide as to how we are going to pray, because it's a powerful thing when we ask, and specifically if I were to ask, as we prepare to enter this new year, how would God lead us to pray? A powerful way to answer that question is to look at how Scripture leads us to pray. And a way, and I've done this here at Trinity before, is to direct us to look into the New Testament at actual prayers that we see the writers of the New Testament write. And so that's what I'm doing this morning. And a word about this. This will really be more than just words that you hear me speak. If you take what I'm going to give to you today, and I have there's the outline in your program if you want to follow along with me, but also I have a little handout at the back of the room if you want to grab one when you leave, if you'd like to take this a little bit further. But I'm just kind of going to be flying at a high level through these. But what I encourage you to do is to take these passages of Scripture, and this week and the coming weeks, maybe across the next month, is to take time to look at each one of these amazing prayers that we see out of the heart of the New Testament writers, and to ask God, how would you lead me to take this prayer, you know, this 2,000-year-old prayer to God, and appropriate it into my own life? Because you see a thing, my father pointed this out to me years ago. He said, Ethan, when we see biblical writers pray, when we see the authors in the New Testament actually write down their prayer for individuals and their prayer for the church, that is prayer that it is in the heart of God to answer, because we confess rightly that Scripture is inspired by God. So when Paul prayed, the Holy Spirit is inspiring Paul and leading Paul to pray this prayer to God. And so this is prayer that it is in the heart of God to answer. And so as we go through this, again, with that in mind,
is how would God lead me to make this prayer my own? And what would my response be for each one of these prayers? On the handout in the back and there in your program, you'll notice I have the little question, the phrase, our response. You know, what is my response? In other words, when I pray to God, and I don't know if y'all have thought about this before, Prince, but when we pray, if we are honestly saying, God, this is some, intervene here, or God, would you do this work, or God, I'm praying for this and for this purpose or for this cause. If we are sincerely asking God to take that step, my friends, we're also saying, God, use me as a part of the answer to this prayer. You know, we pray in the Lord's Prayer, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, like your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it's been said by many pastors and many writers, if we sincerely pray, Lord, may your kingdom come upon this earth now and your will be done as it is in heaven in this earth now, is to pray, Lord, may your kingdom come in my life. Lord, may your will be done in my life. We're actually not looking at the Lord's Prayer today. That's not one of the ones that I have, but the principle is the same. Lord, how would you take this prayer and make it my own? And Lord, what is my response? What is my participation in how you would answer this prayer in my life or in the lives of people around me? So with that being said, and knowing that these all overlap, you'll see recurring themes as we go through this, I just wanted to jump right in. And each one of these, I'm cheating, I have little bookmarks in my Bible, but I'm going to ask you to look them up, if you can, track along with me, and actually read these out of your Bible as we go. And the first one is in Ephesians chapter 1. So in Ephesians chapter 1, and we're starting with verse 15 through 19. And friends, this is a prayer. Right? How does God, how are you leading us to pray? Through the example of your word, as we look into this new year, one of the greatest themes that we see in the prayer of the New Testament is a prayer that we may know God more. And that's the point there in your outline, that we may know God more. In Ephesians 1, 15 through 19, this is what we read. Paul says, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." And then he prays. He says, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you may know him better." I know so many of you've read this many times. You've heard sermons on this prayer. It's an amazing passage of scripture. But it always just strikes me when he says that you may have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Friends, I don't know if you ever pray for wisdom and revelation, but I do. When I'm thinking about, Lord, what's a decision we make about the ministry in our church? Or, Lord, is this a decision, a financial decision my wife and I should make? You know, so many different areas we pray for wisdom and revelation. And yet the great theme of Scripture is the greatest revelation, the greatest wisdom that we may receive as followers of Christ is knowing Christ more, is deepening in our relationship and our experience of his presence and his goodness in our life. That you may know him better, Paul says. And he goes on, he says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people." And that's an amazing concept right there that I don't have time to get into. Verse 19, "in his incomparably great power for us who believe." In his incomparably great power for us who believe. And you go on through the rest of that passage, and Paul just continues to unfold and unfold. But just for now, the theme in that passage of Scripture, friends, as we go into this year, may we pray that we may know God more. So what would be our response to that? If I'm to pray, Lord, I desire, Lord, grow your presence, Lord, grow my experience of you in your life. Friends, it's to have a sense of intentionality. If I sincerely tell God that I desire to know him more, that will be reflected in the habits of my life, that may be reflected in how I spend some of my time, the steps that I take. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul, almost crying out from his heart, he says, "I want to know Christ." If you're familiar with that passage, "I want to know Christ, even participating in his sufferings, that I may experience somehow the power of the resurrection of the dead in my life." I want to know Christ. May we pray that we know him more. First big thought. But moving on, the next prayer that we see is in Ephesians chapter 3. And so if you just turn over in verses 14 through 19. Another amazing prayer that Paul prays here in his letter to the church in Ephesus. And friends, this is a prayer, really another way of stating that we would know God more. And it's a prayer that we would experience the fullness of His Spirit. The fullness of His Spirit within us. When we were going through Romans 8, we spent a couple of weeks just focusing on this idea because it's the focus Paul brings right in the middle of Romans chapter 8, is this reality that we have the presence of God in us through our faith in Christ, that we are indwelled by the Spirit. We are indwelled by the Spirit of God, by the Spirit of Christ. And when Paul prays here, this is what's on his heart, that reality, right, that objective truth for us as believers, that the Spirit of God, through the Holy Spirit, dwells within us, that this would be the great motivating and the source experience, the source of our life as we go through our lives each day. But this is how Paul prays, starting in verse 14 of chapter 3. He says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being." Right? He's there, His Spirit in your inner being. "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." What a statement. Paul prays for the church that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Friends, honestly, I'll read that at times and it's like, even in my own heart, in my own mind, how do I even respond to that? The fullness of God, that I may be filled with the full, it almost seems so beyond our daily experience at times. And yet, that is a prayer that Paul prays for the church. And it is a prayer that God would lead us to pray as we move into this new year. God, however you would do it, Lord, in your sovereignty, just by pure faith, because I see it here in the prayer that Paul prayed, Lord, I pray that in my life, my children's lives, my wife, my spouse's wife, the people around me, Lord, as the church, may we be filled. May we experience the fullness of His Spirit within us. An amazing thought. And how would He lead us then, right? To think and to pray, Lord, what would be my response? How are you working out that in my life? In Romans 12, we'll get to this probably in a few months, is where Paul says, so be transformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. By your Spirit, Lord, change how we think, right? Change our mind, our will, and our emotions by your Spirit. Prayer that we would experience the fullness of His Spirit within us. Big thought. The third prayer, my friends, is a prayer that we would experience the blessing of being His body. Those are the two blanks there that we would experience. All right, Lord, this year, I'm praying, how do you lead me to pray? I see in Scripture prayer that we would experience the blessing of being His body. And this is in the little book of Philemon, verses 4 through 7 of Philemon. Find it here in my Bible. There we go. And so if you know anything about this letter, this is one of the personal letters that Paul writes. It's a piece of personal correspondence that he writes to his friend Philemon, encouraging him in several different ways. But in starting in verse 4, this is the prayer that he prays. He says, "I always thank my God, Philemon, as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all His holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing that we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the heart of the Lord's people." I'm going to read that again in a different translation where here in the NIV, in the new NIV, it says, "I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ." Your translation, some translations phrase it this way. This is what when I grew up, this is the way I heard this text rendered. "I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Because here's the interesting thing about this little statement, this little prayer, without going into too much depth. I always was taught that when Paul said, I pray that you would be active in sharing your faith, that meant evangelism, right? That as we go out and share our faith with other people from an evangelical standpoint, that then that will lead to a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. But that's not actually what Paul is saying, right? There's much that the New Testament has to say, calling us to be evangelical people, right? To share the hope of Christ with others. But here in this prayer, this idea of sharing our faith, is sharing the goodness of our relationship with Christ with each other in the community of the body of Christ. It's experiencing the blessing of the body. And we see a profound connection here that through experiencing our relationship with Christ together in the context of the body, that is a way that God grows us to have a full understanding of every good thing that we have in Christ. So this year, Lord, we pray that you would grow within us, grow within me, grow within our churches, Lord, the desire to be active, or to come alongside other believers, to share that fellowship of our relationship with you, with each other, so that we may come to know, in the context of the community of Christians, the goodness of who you are and every good thing that you have for us. This is the sense of the prayer, the heart of the prayer that Paul is praying here. So again, what is my response to that? What might be your response to that prayer? The choice to participate in his body. And I don't really have to say that here because all of you are at church on some form of your vacation, right? You're up here. For many of you, this isn't your year-round home. You love the church. You're here. Because may we pray for the body of Christ as we look into this year, that people, as the writer of Hebrews says, that we would not be discouraged from meeting together, that we would not give up on meeting together to encourage one another, because the relationships that we share, even when it's hard, because we're people, when we share with each other within the context of the church, the body of Christ, that is a powerful thing in our own lives and a powerful testimony to the world around us. All right? A prayer for the blessing of his body, of being his body. So set that thought aside. The next big thought that we see here, friend, is a prayer for wisdom and discernment. A prayer for wisdom and discernment. I just want to camp on this just for a second. Friends, this is huge. In our lives, praying for wisdom, for specific situations. I have a good friend that called me about a month ago and had a heartbreaking crisis in his life with a family member. And he was saying, you know, Ethan, what do we do? What's the step? What's the next step that we need to take? He says, I don't know what to do. I'll never forget several years ago, another man was going through a crisis in his marriage, and I was having breakfast with him. Maybe you've had an experience like this, and we were talking. I was just trying to have conversation with him just to cheer him up, maybe give, you know, something else to think about. And I'm like, well, tell me what's going on in your business. He said, man, I'd love to talk to you about that, Ethan, but first, I just have one question. And he came up across the table and grabbed the lapel of my jacket that I still had on because it was cold outside. And he said, Ethan, what do I do? Friends, our hearts cry out for wisdom and discernment from God. And we see here a prayer, a powerful prayer for wisdom and discernment in Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. And as I read through this, I want you to see the things that Paul connects together here in this prayer. So again, I'm looking it up here, Philemon. That's Philemon. Here we go, Philippians. Philippians 1, 9 through 11. This is what we read. Right again. Here are the connections that are here. Paul says, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. So we're starting with a prayer that our love would abound, our love for God and our love for each other would abound. And that love of God is connected to our knowledge of God, our depth of insight. And then he says, verse 10, so that you may be able to discern what is best. So that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Friends, at the center of that prayer is this statement, so that you may be able to discern what is best. Now, on one hand, that's discerning what is best in terms of moral judgment, all right? Discerning what is best in terms of how God may be leading us and His will for our lives. But we see the full breadth of our human experience here. Anytime we are saying, Lord, I am looking to you. Lord, give me discernment, give me wisdom for the step that I am taking. What we see in this very small but very profound prayer is that connected to discernment is love of God and depth of knowledge of who He is, understanding of who He is. And then the end of discernment is not just having discernment for the situation that we're in right now, but the end, rather, of discernment is that we may be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, and that this may be to the glory and praise of God. So friends, if you are in a place in your life right now, as I know I am, where we are praying for discernment for a specific situation that we may find ourselves in, I encourage us to see the full picture of discernment. May we not just say, Lord, left or right, here's my situation right here. But may we also say, Lord, in this situation where I'm praying for wisdom and discernment, Lord, teach me to love. Lord, show me how in this dynamic you are leading me to bear fruit in my life. And Lord, by this decision that needs to be made, by this prayer for discernment that I am laying before you, Lord, may you be glorified. May you be brought glory. And it puts Him at the center rather than ourselves. Very, very, very short, but very powerful prayer for wisdom and discernment. But moving on, the next one. My friends, we see in Colossians chapter 1, another prayer from the Apostle Paul. And this is a prayer that God would be at work, that God would work through us, that God would work through us. And this is in Colossians 1, starting in verse 9. And Paul prays. He says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. So Paul's saying, since I first heard about this church, right, this group of believers in Colossae, said, since I first heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, right, there's that concept we just talked about, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Right, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in His kingdom of light. And Paul just ends this thought by saying, for He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. Back to verse 10, Paul prays that we may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. Friends, there's a very famous statement in Ephesians, back in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, where Paul writes, for we are God's workmanship. Right? You know that passage? For we are God's workmanship. In my sermon last Sunday, two Sundays ago, I showed how in that passage, the idea of workmanship there is the idea of God's creative masterpiece. If God is a workman, right, like a person creating something, it's going to be a masterpiece if it's something that God has created. We are God's poem, right? The root word there of workmanship is the Greek word poemia, right, which is where we take the word poem. We are God's workmanship, His masterpiece. And we have been created by Him and in Him toward what end? To do good works, which He has prepared in advance for us to do. So I did that God goes before. So how do we respond to that prayer in our life? Friends, very practically, each day, may we pray that God would lead us and we take the choice to expect God to work through us. And how often do I, I'm thinking of myself while I'm driving to church, right, or driving to a meeting with someone. Lord, I by faith, I believe that you have a plan to work through my life today to bless someone else. So Lord, my eyes are open, my heart is open to show me how you are going to work, because I'm your workmanship, you say, and you've created me in Christ to do good works, which you've prepared in advance for me to do, for us as the body to do. It's a prayer that God would work through us as we look into this new year. That's a prayer, my friends, that God would lead us to. Two more quick thoughts. The next step is a prayer that God would be glorified in us. Which, if you look back at all of these prayers, this is a common component of them. A prayer that God would be glorified in us. And in 2 Thessalonians, again, chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, Paul says this. He says, with this in mind, we constantly pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. And we pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Right, we pray this so that the Lord Jesus may be glorified in you, and you in him. For this is deep water faith. Again, just thinking in my own life, when I find myself in a place of prayer, so often the first thing that I'm going to, maybe the only thing that I'm just throwing out there to God is, Lord, this is my need. Or this is my friend's need. Lord, will you do something here, please? And friends, the Spirit within us leads us to take the next step, to say, Lord, I trust you. This is where I am. This is the situation. But Lord, in this, may you use me to bring glory to yourself. Lord, may you be made beautiful to those around me by, Lord, how you lead me in this step, in this situation. Lord, I'm praying that your name would be glorified, and Lord, that your glory would be in me according to your grace. Lord, how would God lead us to respond to that in our own lives? Powerful prayer. And the last thought before I lead us into a time of receiving communion together, friends, is a prayer for maturity. Prayer for maturity. My friends, to pray that God would grow us and that he would mature us is a dangerous prayer, because we're admitting, we're confessing that we're not there. You know, even as the Apostle Paul says, hey, listen, I haven't arrived yet, right? But I'm pressing on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Lord, I need to grow. I need to mature. And this is what we see in Colossians chapter 4, where Paul is speaking of his friend Epaphras. And he says in Colossians 4:12, now Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends his greetings. This is really intriguing. Paul records here how this guy, Epaphras, right? When I get to heaven, I want to go see Epaphras, right? There's these different characters that are kind of barely mentioned in the New Testament, but were part of the large tapestry of how God was at work in this first generation of believers. And he says, Epaphras is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in the will of God and be mature and fully assured. That you may stand firm and be mature and fully assured. But how do we respond to that prayer? Lord, grow me. Lord, whatever it is in me that would keep me from looking to you and would keep me from following you in the way that you're growing me and maturing me in my faith, Lord, give me loose hands to let go of this. And if you look in the New Testament at the different, the word mature and maturing and maturity, some of the ones, the places where we find this idea of growing in maturity in Christ, it'll take you back a little bit. Because one of them is in James chapter 1. And if you go and read the opening of James 1, he says, listen, hardship is going to come. But when it does, accept it. Trust God in it, because it's going to grow perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you will be mature, lacking nothing. All right? Lord, as we move into this year, in my life, my family's life, Lord, our church, and we encounter difficulty and struggle, Lord, whatever the situation may be, Lord, may we not put our hands up and try to shut down the work that you are doing, but Lord, may we rather trust you and follow you so that we may grow and stand firm, fully assured as your children. I was thinking, you know, if you were to look at all these different prayers, and by the way, this is not comprehensive. If you really want to do a real in-depth exercise, sometimes spiritual exercise, is get your Bible, get a concordance. There's wonderful online tools now that really make this easy. You know, you don't have to go to the back of your giant Bible and look up all the tiny little words in two-point text anymore. You just do a search engine on Bible Gateway or some other website like that. But look, scan the New Testament for every instance of the word prayer. Throw the word ask in there. You're going to get a lot of scripture. Pray, prayer, prayerfully, praying, right? Look for all of them. And then go, and don't just read the individual verse. Read the context around it. Maybe write down all the references. And over a month, take time to go and look at all of these instances of prayer. And you're going to start to see a theme emerge. And friends, the greatest theme is that we would know Christ as our life, that we would trust him, that we would let him change us, that we would let him mature us. There is a presence of asking God for the circumstantial needs of our life, but it's actually very, very small. The overwhelming emphasis of prayer is that our hearts would be open to see Jesus Christ through his Spirit within us. That's our very source of life, that we would know him more. My friends, may that be the prayer of our lives, of our hearts, as we go into 2019. Because that's the prayer that was on Jesus' mind when he was gathered there together with his disciples in the upper room there in Jerusalem on the night that he was going to be arrested. And we see Jesus take the bread, right, which had great significance, the Jewish Passover meal they were receiving. And he said, this is my body given for you. As often as you do this, and you know, his disciples are thinking, well, what is he even talking about? And they would come to understand it later fully. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. And this cup, a little later in the meal, this cup is the cup of the new covenant. And they're thinking, what's the new covenant? Again, which after Pentecost, and as we move into the book of Acts, they began to understand a whole new way of being in relationship with God. This is the blood, my blood of the new covenant. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. And if we see the meaning of the bread and the meaning of the cup, Jesus is essentially saying, this is me. All of who I am as your Savior, as God, I am giving myself to you. Receive me as your life. And as often as you gather together, and as often as you take this meal, remember what has made this possible. Friends, as we prepare to enter in just a couple of days into a new year, and you know, this is an artificial boundary we have going into the new year. Who knows? The new year could start on August the 5th, right? But it starts on January the 1st. So that's an artificial construct. But we think of it, right? It reminds us of things. And as we think of a lot of different other parts of our lives, right, moving into the new year, may we be reminded to look to him who has given us life and pray, Lord, may I know you. Friends, I'm going to close us in a word of prayer. But as I pray, I do invite you right now to call to mind what is on your heart for prayer, how God is leading your spirit to pray. And I want to make sure you understand something. I will often talk about how the emphasis of New Testament scripture is not on our circumstances, but is on the larger, that we would know Christ, whatever our circumstance means. I never want anyone to understand that I'm diminishing God's invitation for us to pray in the details of our circumstances. Because he calls us to do that, to come before him honestly and openly with all of who we are. So if there is a struggle in your life, or maybe a joy that you're just so thankful for, I invite you to have that on your heart to pray. Maybe there's a loved one, a friend, that you're praying for salvation, right? I'm always encouraged. I have a gentleman, it's part of another church in the valley named Brian. And Brian's father lived with he and his wife until he passed away in his mid-90s, past mid-90s, I believe. But Brian's dad came to faith when he was 90 years old, after Brian had shared with him for almost all of his adult life. My friends, never doubt that God can work in a person's life to bring them to see and to receive the life that he would have for them. So if that's a prayer that God has you praying for someone, I encourage you daily to pray for that person. And then this great theme that we saw today, as we think of our country, as we think of everything that's on our hearts, that we would pray that we would know him more. Because you know something that's at the bottom of it and at the end of it. When we pray that we would know God more, my friends, we are praying that we would know joy. So there's my last thought for you. You're afraid, oh no, he's launching into another sermon. No, I'm not. When we pray going into this year, again, at my Christmas Eve service I started, there's so much bad news around us. As may we be radically inclined in the midst of this world, in the political climate that we find ourselves in our country, to be people who pray for and have the audacity to live in the presence of joy and hope as we follow the Holy Spirit and how he leads us to pray.